from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello and welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. 12 actions build villages highlighted on 2026 National Village Day. Foreign Minister emphasizes the importance of economic diplomacy in annual statement. I'm Ray and this is the news in details. As Indonesia enters the second year since its official inauguration last year, every January 15th reminds the nation of the significant contribution of villages to the national development structure, highlighting President Prabowo Subianto's vision in the 6th Astacita, Minister of Villages and Disadvantaged Regions Development, Yandri Susanto, invites all elements of the nation to support the success of the 12 actions to build villages as part of this year's National Village Day commemoration in Boyolali. Putri Cahya Purnama has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Villages and Disadvantaged Regions Development Yandri Susanto delivered a speech at the peak of the 2026 National Village Day commemoration held at Butuh Village Field, Boyolali, Central Java on Thursday, January 15, 2026. In his address, the minister emphasized that the implementation of President Prabowo Subianto's 6th Astacita affirms that building Indonesia must start from the villages. With a total of 75,266 villages across the archipelago, Yandri invited all parties to successfully implement the 12 actions to build villages as a strategic roadmap towards Golden Indonesia 2045. This program encompasses strengthening institutions through village-owned enterprises, or BUMDES, and red and white village cooperatives to the development of thematic villages.
Maka 12 aksi ini, Bapak Ibu, mari kita sukseskan.
Let's make these 12 actions a success. We have village-owned enterprises. We have the Red and White Village Cooperative Program. There are thematic villages. Now we are creating catfish villages, tilapia villages, melon villages, rice villages, corn villages. All are in the villages. The ultimate goal is free nutritious meals.
As a concrete step in guiding the 12 actions to build villages, Yandri stated that the Ministry of Villages is also organizing various appreciation events through festivals.
Maka untuk menjawab 12 aksi tadi,
Pak Menteri. So, in response to those 12 actions, together with the Minister of Law, the Chairman of the Regional Representatives Council, we are creating the Build Village Festival. The Build Village Festival. There will be the Food Resilience Village Festival, Waste Free Village Festival, Export Village Festival, Best Village Owned Enterprises Festival, Pioneer Village Youth Festival, Best Migrant Village Festival.
The peak of 2026 National Village Day celebration was symbolically marked by the release of bird by the Minister of Villages, accompanied by attending officials. According to Yandri, this procession symbolized the high aspirations and the freedom for villages to soar forward within the framework of national collaboration. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Sugiono, emphasized on Wednesday that economic cooperation is at the core of diplomacy conducted by Indonesia in facing increasingly complex global challenges in 2026. Annual press statement of the Minister of Foreign Affairs at the Ministry's office in Jakarta, Sugiono also stated that amid the global economic slowdown, Indonesia remains present with a strong economic foundation.
Saya menegaskan bahwa diplomasi ekonomi menjadi inti.
I affirm that economic diplomacy is at the heart of Indonesia's diplomatic efforts. Amid the global economic slowdown and coercive economies, Indonesia stands on a solid foundation with growth rate above the global average, controlled inflation, a trade surplus, and a consistently high investment realization levels. This stable economic foundation strengthens Indonesia's position on the global stage and also supports its continued active role.
Juga menopang peran aktif Indonesia yang berkelanjutan.
Furthermore, Sugiono explained that to reduce systematic vulnerabilities, Indonesia also contributes to strengthening financial inclusion, including through the implementation of innovative mechanisms, such as the Quick Response Code Indonesian Standard. He stated that thanks to diplomatic efforts, QRIS now facilitates cross-border transactions in several countries, including Thailand, Malaysia, China, and Japan. The government continues to encourage the strengthening of village economy through the Export Village Program as part of efforts to equalize national economic growth. This program opens direct access for superior villages' products to penetrate international markets without intermediaries, allowing the added value to be directly enjoyed by village communities. In his speech at the commemoration of National Village Day in Boyolali, Central Java on Thursday, the Minister of Villages and Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, stated that a number of villages have successfully conducted direct exports to various destination countries.
Sekarang ada desa ekspor. Bisa dari desa langsung ke negara.
Now there are export villages. Products can go directly from the village to the destination country. For example, Kertasana Village in Pandeglang exports goldfish directly from Kertasana Village to France, England, and Canada. There's also Ngoran Village in Blitar, exporting kendang jimbe drums. Owned by the village-owned enterprise, they export directly to China with an annual income of 18 billion rupiahs.
Yandri emphasized that the Export Village program will continue to be expanded to strengthen the role of villages as drivers of the national economy. The government aims for 5,000 villages to be involved in the export scheme going forward. Alongside the strengthening of village-owned enterprises, production assistance, and the expansion of global market access. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Sugiono called for ASEAN to return to its founding purpose, which is to maintain and focus on the welfare of the people. In 2026 annual press statement by the Foreign Ministry at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday, Sugiono said ASEAN was established to ensure differences are managed through dialogue and cooperation, not through pressure and confrontation.
Indonesia mengajak dan menyerukan agar
Indonesia invites and calls for ASEAN to return to its original purpose of maintaining this region as a space for peace, free from displays of power, and oriented towards the welfare of its people. Outside the region, the logic of hard power is indeed strengthening, but within this region, there are traditions of rule and wisdom that we must follow together. This is why Indonesia views ASEAN as an effective collective mechanism for managing differences and preventing rivalry from turning into confrontation.
Dan mencegah rivalitas berubah menjadi konfrontasi.
Sugiono emphasized that strengthening ASEAN's centrality needs to be done by reaffirming the relevance of the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific as an inclusive regional management framework, where ASEAN retains control over the direction and governance of the region. He stated that ASEAN will only be strong if its unity and centrality are continuously upheld and fought for together. Indonesia is making a major leap in education technology by distributing interactive digital devices to more than 200,000 educational units nationwide by the end of 2025. As of 2026 begins, the program has reached a 98% completion rate, as reported by Minister of Basic and Secondary Education Abdul Muti in Tangerang on Wednesday. Dika Dean Ananda has the details.
At the inauguration of the revitalization of educational units event held in Tangerang on Wednesday, January 14, 2026, Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti stated that the Indonesian government is making a major leap in educational technology by distributing interactive digital devices to 288,186 educational units across the country by the end of 2025. According to him, this massive digitization project is one of the government's strategies to improve the quality of education in Indonesia. To support this goal, a series of strategies will continue in 2026, focusing on a holistic ecosystem ranging from hardware and teacher competency to sustainable support.
Program digitalisasi itu tidak sekedar kami.
This digitization program is not just about us sending interactive digital panel. But we also train the teachers and provide laptop assistance so that the IFP can be used optimally to support quality learning activities.
Agar IFP atau PID itu dapat digunakan sebaik-baiknya untuk mendukung kegiatan pembelajaran yang bermutu.
To support this high-tech transition, the government is also addressing the human element by accelerating teacher qualifications. In 2026, Indonesia will provide scholarships for 150,000 teachers to complete their bachelor's degrees through the recognition of prior learning system. This is accompanied by improvements in welfare allowance, including certification allowance and monthly incentives for educators. Minister Mukti also acknowledged that there will be further government efforts to enhance teacher welfare.
Indeed, we haven't been able to provide much yet, but we are committed to gradually and continuously improving the welfare of teachers.
By combining modern technology and government-funded professional development for teachers, according to Minister Mukti, Indonesia is gradually shaping a future workforce with global standards. Dika Dean Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Sugiono stated that domestic resilience is crucial for safeguarding national interests, emphasizes that resilience diplomacy is the main foundation of Indonesia's foreign policy amidst global uncertainties. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Sugiono stated that resilience diplomacy has become a fundamental pillar of Indonesia's foreign policy, implemented adaptively amidst increasingly uncertain global dynamics. He made this statement during the 2026 annual press statement of the foreign minister in Jakarta on Wednesday. Sugiono said national resilience cannot depend on others and must be built from within the country.
Kan tentu saja, itu juga adalah.
This resilience cannot be borrowed, this resilience must be built from within, because in an uncertain world, only nations strong internally will possess bargaining power externally. This is what I mean by resilience diplomacy.
Inilah yang saya maknai sebagai diplomasi ketahanan.
Sugiono assessed that many countries in the world, including Indonesia, face the reality that the line between peace and war is no longer clear, and it's increasingly difficult to read the situation. He asserted that in an increasingly unpredictable international situation, Indonesia must have a strategy and resilience to avoid being easily dragged along, stating that Indonesian diplomacy must be built upon preparedness, vigilance, and realism.
Kita harus melihat dunia apa adanya, keras, kompetitif, dan semakin tidak.
We must see the world as it is, harsh, competitive, and increasingly unpredictable. Therefore, our diplomacy must be built upon preparedness, vigilance, and realism. We must have the ability to withstand pressure, manage risk, adapt to emerge stronger, a resilience that is dynamic because threats no longer come in a single form, and crises do not arrive one by one.
Karena ancaman tidak lagi datang dalam bentuk tunggal dan krisis tidak datang satu persatu.
Furthermore, Sugiono said that foreign policy directly impacts people's lives. According to him, global dynamics affect food prices, access to technology, education, and protection of Indonesian citizens abroad. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo Subianto held a discussion with approximately 1,200 rectors and professionals from state private universities in Jakarta on Thursday, January 15, 2026. The meeting was convened to discuss the direction of national education policy and the strengthening of human resources as the foundation for development towards Golden Indonesia 2045. Nur Kamila has the details.
Presiden Prabowo Subianto conversed with 1,200 rectors and professors from state and private universities on Thursday at the presidential place in Jakarta. Minister of State Security Prasetyo Hadi explained that the meeting was part of the head of state agenda to discuss and convey perspective on the national condition, geopolitics, and the government future work plans. According to him, in the meeting, President Prabowo discussed the direction of national education policy and the strengthening of human resources as the foundation for development toward Golden Indonesia 2045.
Oleh karena itulah Bapak Presiden melakukan banyak komunikasi.
That is why the President is engaging in extensive communication with various parties, and today's schedule happens to be a discussion and communication session with rectors and professors from both state and private universities. So, there are roughly 1,200 invitees who will discuss with the President today.
Akan berdiskusi bersama dengan Bapak Presiden.
Prasetyo Hadi explained that education is one of the government's main focus in preparing human resources. According to him, this is being done alongside a effort to achieve food self-sufficiency and energy self-sufficiency.
Karena memang kita pahami pendidikan adalah salah satu.
We understand that education is one of the key foundations and factors. So, besides pursuing and working hard to achieve food self-sufficiency and energy self-sufficiency, one of the main foundations is human resource, the manpower for both the present and the future towards Golden Indonesia 2045.
Furthermore, Prasetyo Hadi added that the meeting also discussed higher education matters, including accelerating the fulfillment of the national demand for doctors, improving the quality of lecture, and enhancing university infrastructure. Nur Kamila, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, provided the latest updates regarding the condition of Indonesian citizens in Iran amidst the continuously evolving situation. In a statement to the media after the 2026 annual press statement of the Minister of Foreign Affairs event in Jakarta on Wednesday, Foreign Minister Sugiono stated that communication with Indonesian citizens in Iran is currently still facing several obstacles. However, Sugiono mentioned that the majority of Indonesian citizens in Iran are students concentrated in the cities of Qom and Isfahan, areas relatively unaffected by the direct impact of the demonstration.
Komunikasi agak sulit ke Iran.
Communication to Iran is somewhat difficult, but based on the latest information I received, because most Indonesian citizens in Iran are students concentrated in Qom and Isfahan, the reports reaching me, we are also monitoring the dynamics. Not many Indonesian citizens are affected.
Tidak banyak WNI yang terdampak.
Sugiono added that although thus far not many Indonesian citizens have been directly affected by the situation, the government continues to urge all Indonesian citizens in Iran to remain vigilant, monitor security developments, and avoid protest location. The government has also instructed the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Tehran to prepare anticipatory measures, including evacuation options should they be needed at any time. The Indonesian Navy held a commemoration ceremony for the 2026 Dharma Samudra Day as a form of tribute to the ocean heroes. The ceremony was held by the Chief of Naval Staff Admiral Muhammad Ali and attended by senior Navy officers. The event took place aboard an Indonesian Navy warship in Jakarta on Thursday. The ceremony included a reading of the history of naval battles by a member of the Indonesian Navy SEAL Corps, Widya.
The series of naval battles that culminated in the ROC battle on January 15, 1962 are subsequently commemorated as Dharma Samudra Day to remember the heroism and sacrifices of the patriots to defend the nation's honor and dignity.
The ceremony continued with a procession of floral wreaths cast into the sea by the Chief of Naval Staff as a tribute to the spirits of the Indonesian Navy heroes. This commemoration is expected to strengthen the fighting spirit and professionalism of soldiers in safeguarding the nation's sovereignty. The post-flood and landslide disaster recovery in Sumatra emphasized not only infrastructure rebuilding, but also the social, economic, and cultural rehabilitation of survivors. Ofra Regina has the details.
The Indonesian government is focusing its post-flood and landslides disaster rehabilitations and reconstructions program in Sumatra not only on physical and infrastructure development, but also on the recovery of the people as disaster survivors. This was stated by Andre Notohamijoyo, Assistant Deputy for Disaster Risk Reductions at the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture in Banda Aceh on Wednesday. Andre said one concrete step taken by the Coordinating Ministry is initiating the drafting of inclusive and equitable rehabilitations and reconstruction documents and guidelines. These guidelines not only highlight infrastructure development, but also encompass community social and economic recovery, livelihood strengthening, and respect for local wisdom and culture.
Future solutions. Resolving the problems are not only related to physical infrastructure issues, but also touch upon the community's economy, the community's social aspects, while still respecting local wisdom and the community's culture, so that everything is harmonious. And we hope this resolution is also comprehensive.
Semuanya selaras dan kita harapkan penyelesaian ini juga secara komprehensif.
Andre added that a human-oriented rehabilitations and reconstructions approach requires cross-ministerial and inter-agency collaborations. These collaborations involve the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Cooperative and SMEs, the Ministry of Villages to the Ministry of Trade, aiming to restore the local economy, reopen market access, and build the self-reliance of disaster-affected communities. Over again, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia Ministry of Forestry is accelerating emergency flood response and preparing for the rehabilitation of over 37,000 hectares of forest and land in Aceh, North Sumatra, and West Sumatra. Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni conveyed this during a working meeting with Commission 4 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Wednesday. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan has the details.
Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni on Wednesday, January 14, 2026, stated the ministry's commitment to expedite emergency flood handling in Sumatra post-disaster by forming a flood-drifted timber cleanup acceleration team during the working meeting with Commission 4 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta. He added that the ministry is also utilizing driftwood to construct 430 temporary housing units in Langkhan sub-district North Aceh in collaboration with several related parties.
Dan terakhir,
the Ministry of Forestry is constructing temporary housing from driftwood planks in collaboration with Rumah Sakit Foundation for 100 houses and with National Disaster Management Agency BNPB for 330 houses located in Langkahan Subdistrict, North Aceh Regency.
To prevent misuse, the Ministry of Forestry issued a circular letter regarding the utilization of driftwood specifically for emergency and non-commercial recovery purposes. The government also implemented a moratorium on timber logging and transport to the Forest Product Administration Information System, or SIPU, and strengthened law enforcement deemed to have violated regulations.
First, the Ministry of Forestry has installed signage at 11 points and investigations are underway. Together with the Forest Area Issuance Task Force, law enforcement has been carried out against 23 legal entities, comprising investigations into 6 corporations and 2 land rights holders. as well as inquiries into 8 corporations and 7 land rights holders. Second, conducting evaluation and revocation of forest utilization business permits covering 1 million hectares involving 22 business permits across Indonesia, including in the 3 affected provinces. Third, conducting audits on 24 business permits located in the 3 affected provinces.
For the medium and long term, forest and land rehabilitation is planned through various funding schemes, including the state budget or APBN, obligation under the Forest Area Use Approval or PPK, foreign grant and other non-binding funding sources, as well as community seedling nurseries, productive seedlings, and plantation nurseries. Furthermore, according to Raja Juli, the Ministry of Forestry is also involved in the Post-Disaster Rehabilitation and Reconstruction Acceleration Task Force with 2 potential sites of permanent housing construction in forest area of Central Tapanuli Regency already identified. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia has summoned dozens of plantation and mining firms and levied hundreds of millions in fines as part of a major crackdown on illegal operations within the protected forest areas, a government task force announced this week. Rama Syuki Prataba has the details.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Salam sejahtera, shalom, om swastiastu, namo buddhaya, salam kebajikan.
Indonesia's Forest Area Reclamation Task Force has summoned dozens of palm oil plantation and mining companies proven to have violated regulations on forest area utilization. During a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 14th, the task force's spokesperson Barita Simanjuntak revealed that 83 palm oil plantation companies had been summoned to settle violation fines. Of these, 73 have met with the task force and 41 have paid the fines.
Khusus update.
Specifically regarding the update on palm oil fine payments, we report that to date, the Forest Area Reclamation Task Force has invited 83 corporations. Out of these 83 corporations operating in the forest areas, 73 have attended.
73 sudah hadir.
Meanwhile, 32 mining companies have also been summoned to settle violation fines, with 22 having attended and 7 having paid. Barita stated that the fines paid by these companies, particularly the palm oil plantations, have exceeded 4.7 trillion rupiahs, or approximately $279 million. He also said the task force would take law enforcement measures against companies that fail to pay the fines, ensuring all corporations comply with applicable regulations.
If within the stipulated period, corporations do not demonstrate good faith towards the facilitative and persuasive steps offered by the government through the Forest Area Reclamation Task Force, then the state will certainly take appropriate and necessary measures to ensure our compliance with national interests, legal interests, and the welfare of all Indonesian people.
Kesejahteraan seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
The Forest Area Reclamation Task Force was established by President Prabowo Subianto's administration in 2025 to restore state control over forest areas that were illegally occupied. To date, the task force has reclaimed over 4 million hectares of land and shut down nearly 5,000 hectares of illegal mining operations. Ramasidki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Today's commentary is on building villages to strengthen the nation's foundation. January the 15th is celebrated in Indonesia as National Village Day, following the enactment of the village law in 2014 and subsequent presidential decree. National Village Day was established on January the 15th, 2024. This momentum serves to strengthen the foundation of the nation and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The theme of National Village Day 2026 is Building Villages, Building Indonesia, Leading Villages for Indonesia, with the tagline Building Villages for a Golden Indonesia 2045. Referring to this theme, the government is committed to making villages the starting point for Indonesia's development. This is because development begins in villages, transforming the economy from small to large and influencing urban life. Much economic potential originates in villages. So, empowering villages to advance the economy and development is paramount. Therefore, the idea of establishing the Red and White Cooperative focusing on villages in 2024 is worthy of appreciation, especially amidst the uncertain global situation. Strengthening the people's economy starting from the village is both right and appropriate. The name Red and White, referring to the colors of the Indonesian national flag, was chosen as a symbol of the people's economic struggle grounded in a spirit of nationalism. From the outset, this cooperative was designed not only as an economic institution, but also as a center for village revival towards independence. If the movement and development of villages as a force for economic development are evenly distributed throughout Indonesia, it will create numerous jobs and thereby reduce the flow of urbanization from villages to the cities. This requires cooperation, collaboration, and coordination with stakeholders at all levels. The academic world, for example, is known for its mission of community service. This can be fully and optimally utilized for village development and advancement. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Aku pura-pura cool, pasti diam-diam kamu rangkul. Deg-degan nyaman tak betul, salting lemas sampai ke dengkul. Alah alah, kok bisa ya diam-diam suka aku. Aduh duh duh duh, kok ada yang puji aku selain ibuku. Ternyata boleh juga ya aku. Bukan sulap, bukan sihir, gak disangka ku ada yang naksir. Semar mesem jaran goyang, spontan kita saling sayang, pucuk dicinta ulang pun tiba di luar nalar. Tanpa rencana awalnya takut jatuh cinta, sekarang kecintaan tergila-gila. Alah alah, benar gak ya kamu serius nih sama aku. Boleh juga ya aku.
Mantap.
Bukan sulap, bukan sihir, gak disangka ku ada yang naksir. Semar mesem jarang goyang, spontan kita saling sayang, pucuk dicinta. Jatuh cinta, sekarang kecintaan ter- mantan kita saling sayang, pucuk dicinta. Lama-lama bikin meleleh, sebelum liriknya makin aneh. Tapi ya udah atuh, biarin deh.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sederhana.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me, so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Banjarnegara, which is located in a regency of Central Java province, has a special dish made from rice and wrapped in woven coconut leaves, namely Kupat Landan. It is usually eaten when celebrating Idul Fitri. Listener, Ketupat Landan has a unique taste, soft texture, and distinctive color. Precisely, the ingredients and method for cooking ketupat Landan are the same as ketupat in general, but the difference is that ketupat Landan uses boiling water. Ketupat Landan uses ash deposit from coconut trees to boil it. The ash comes from coconut fiber that has been cleaned and then burnt, and after it becomes ash. Then it is mixed with water until smooth and then settled. After it settles, then take the water from the coconut fiber ash deposits and separate it in another place. Afterwards, the water is used to boil the ketupat for approximately 4 until 5 hours. The well-done ketupat will be red in color, and when it is split, this reddish brown color will be clearly visible on the part of the ketupat which is attached to the wrapper. Listener, apart from the color of the ketupat being reddish brown, the taste of this ketupat is also more savory and the texture is softer. Usually, ketupat Landan is eaten with chicken opor and other dishes made with coconut milk. Besides, there are also other dishes for this ketupat Landan to be taken with, such as tempe mendoan, pecel, and gado-gado. For you who are culinary lovers in Indonesia, Central Java, especially in Banjarnegara, please try ketupat Landan and its other dishes which become the favorite dish of Banjarnegara. It is guaranteed to make you addicted because of its unique taste. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I am Ahmad Faisal. See you tomorrow.
In April, the novelist Arundhati Roy wrote an essay entitled "The Pandemic is a Portal," in which she argued that the pandemic presents us with an unparalleled opportunity to reimagine our future. Forrest Whitaker reads her words.
Whatever it is, Coronavirus has made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality, trying to stitch our future to our past and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we have built for ourselves. Nothing could be worse than a return to normality. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine a world anew. This one is no different. It's a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We could choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice and hatred, our avarice, our data banks and dead ideas, or we can walk through it lightly. With a little luggage, ready to imagine another world, and ready to fight for it.
Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
There is a certain outrage for injustice right now in every sphere. I think we're at a moment where COVID perhaps has helped us realize that there is an intergenerational transition and that young people now are waking up to the calls that we've had from my generation, which have said, look, this is the opportunity you've got to make things change. And they are rising up, and that we are bringing young people to the table now, not as a token, but to help us shape and to take that baton, to take up the gauntlet and to move forward. People fighting for justice, but fighting for your justice, not just mine. And to see that without your justice, mine won't be fulfilled either.
Thank you for the invitation here today to talk about my big brother. The world knows him as George, but I called him Perry.
In June, George Floyd's brother, Philonis, gave testimony to the U.S. House Judiciary Committee.
Yesterday, we laid him to rest. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I'm the big brother now, so it's my job to comfort my brothers and my sisters, Perry's kids, and everyone who loved him. And that's a lot of people. I couldn't take care of George that day he was killed, but maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure that he is more than another face on a t-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing. I'm here to ask you to make it stop. George called for help and he was ignored. Please listen to the calls ringing out the streets across the world. People of all backgrounds, genders and races have come together to demand change. The people marching in the streets are telling you enough is enough. To the leaders, the people elected you to speak for them, to make positive change, you have the opportunity to make your names mean something too. If his death ends up changing the world for the better, and I think it will, then he died as he lived. It is on you to make sure his death is not in vain. I didn't get the chance to say goodbye to Perry while he was here. I was robbed of that. But I know he's looking down at us now. Perry, look up at what you did. Big brother, you changed the world. I hope you can rest in peace. With power.
After the genocide and destruction of the Second World War, the United Nations was founded. Enshrined in its charter was the fact that all people are equal and entitled to the same respect, justice, and human rights. This remains a simple truth, and yet across the globe, this struggle is still being fought. Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
The more we've seen poverty and inequality, hunger, conflict, the more we understand that it is about the person that could be left behind. And so it's really important that we don't leave anyone behind. And we ask ourselves, country by country, community, region, the world, who are the no ones? And they're defined in many different ways depending where you're coming from. And so, you know, discrimination, exclusion, all of that provides fodder for instability in the world. And we know that everyone has a right to a life of dignity.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Nyaman, to be sung by Keroncong Tujuh Putri. The song, released on 11th of October 2019, was composed and popularized by Andamesh Kamale. The song Nyaman narrates the journey of someone who is very happy when they finally meet their true lover who is truly perfect. Here is Keroncong Tujuh Putri with the song Nyaman.
Lama sudah ku